Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight number 587 for comics originally released on November 7th in 2018. Now, starting us off in DC is the Green Lantern number 1. And I guess the is increasingly important or something, I don't know.
Exactly.
I recently caught up on the various Green Lantern books and stuff prepping for this, and I was enjoying them. It was good stuff. Not going to say it was the best it's ever been, but it was solid.
Yeah.
And then I read this, and I don't know, there was something about the way this started.
Oh, it started very poorly for me.
All right, so I'm not the only one. I mean, the Guardians look different. I know we're on New Oa versus Mogo or whatever, but it was starting to feel like a bit of a reboot, a restart, a retooling, however you want to phrase that.
Yeah, it was like, I look at these issues, you know, Marvel does this all the time. It seems like DC's starting to do this too, where you roll out a new creator and that you start off with a number one.
Yeah.
Versus just number ones for line-wide big events. That's what they seem like they're both starting to do now.
Or when it used to be just for a new title.
Yeah, true. So here we are with a number one. You figure, okay, starting point. But really, if I told someone, if you know, having a Green Lantern start here, they're going to be confused because they don't even get into explaining what a little bit of the Green Lantern stuff till the very end of this comic.
Yeah, and then it was kind of exposition heavy when they did that.
Exactly. So I even me having read the other volumes in Rebirth, I read this and I was just like, this is really confusing the way it started. I'm like, this makes no sense.
Well, not only did it make no sense, it was fairly different with the visual style. It was just a lot busier.
Oh, yeah.
And different in kind of from where we left off. And there were certain parts that just, when the guy, you know, has his finger cut off or whatever, I'm like, well, that's kind of disgusting. I don't need that. But it's, you know, just a me being, you know, squeamish or whatever, I guess.
Followed up by?
followed up by the Green Lantern Floozle Phlegm. He's an intelligent virus. Been there, done that. And I didn't really care for that approach.
Yep.
And then, you know, it just, when we started, where was it? We had the bird guy doing the bacaw or whatever it is. Yeah, bacaw. Like,
yeah.
Oh, he's the bird guy. He's gonna, you know, quack like a bird or whatever. It's like, geez, that's cliche much?
Yeah, it started so ridiculous for me because it seemed like it had nothing to do with the other volumes. And like you said, the cutting off the fingers, the virus that makes you vomit out both ends, apparently. And then I was surprised, like, you know, even though this is Team Plus, you know, they use a little bit of profanity in here. I knew that would probably rub you the wrong way a little
bit.
And there's just a lot of allegory in here, a lot of weird stuff that I know that's Grant Morrison stuff, but Grant Morrison is a writer that likes to make you work for your material, not let you just read it and enjoy it.
Yeah, and I felt there was a bit of a retooling of Hal Jordan a little bit. He was a bit more kind of violent in this one than normal.
Yeah, he's different.
Yeah, and I guess I was thinking the Green Lantern franchise wasn't particularly broken, so kind of why fix it?
Yeah, like I see this as the replacement for Venditti's Hal Jordan title, and that title was so much more enjoyable. It hooked me, and it made me really enjoy Green Lantern. And then the Green Lanterns was more user friendly when I can't remember who the first writer was that was on it, but when he was on it, those were my two favorite books coming out of DC, along with Aquaman. And then the writers changed, and they kind of went downhill for me. And this, you know, if I would have started with this, I probably wouldn't have been a Green Lantern fan at the very beginning.
Well, not only is it not good for new readers, I don't think it's good for established readers, because there were a couple of things, like when Hal's saying, well, I can't recharge my ring, they took my power battery away. I'm like, when did that happen? Why did that happen?
I was thinking that too. I got there, I was like, when did he lose his battery? I don't remember that going
well, on. And why does he need the battery? Wasn't he just recently recharging his ring on his own with his own inbuilt will?
Exactly. He had the willpower where he didn't need to recharge it. He was pure willpower. So I don't know. It's very weird. He retooled everything.
Like, a lot seemed to happen since last month.
And there was almost like, I know it's not a memory wipe, but when we first got to Hal, it almost started to feel like a memory wipe with the way they started off. I was like, oh my gosh, are we going down the Nightwing road when I first started reading this? Because it seems so different.
I was expecting him to, you know, when he sees this Green Lantern, to become a Green Lantern for the first time all over again.
Yeah, that could have been like his origin story or something, but it just felt so off from the other titles that I don't know where it's going. It got better at the end, the book did, but there was things in here the way they did it. He drops lots of hints, you know, 52 pickup and, you know, the job is one in a million, you know, referencing his old writing. But the part where he's making out with the girl behind the little bush,
mm-hmm.
and there's that little explosion in the background, I'm like, that's some very on-the-nose foreshadowing for maybe what's coming up on a future story thread.
I don't know. For me, it didn't get better at the end.
Yeah, I would say I agree with you. It didn't get better, but it got a little bit intriguing to where I was like, okay, that's not the big stupid gopher thing or whatever that was. But possibly there could be something there, and I don't know. Because I don't know the character that's shown there very well, but I thought maybe that's a hook and it would mean something to you, and I was hoping you would say this is going to be something very powerful, but now you made me depressed.
Yeah.
It made me want to read up on that one character.
Well, I don't know. By the time they got towards the end there, I was kind of a little frustrated that they took a title, a franchise I was enjoying, did some serious retooling, and frankly, I didn't enjoy this as much.
Yeah, I felt like I got punched in the gut because, like you said, it's one of my favorite books, and it's changed, and I feel like it's gone. And it's kind of like what I'm worrying with. Is Kelly Sue DeConnick taking over Aquaman, I think?
I believe so, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, I'm so worried because I so enjoy Dan Abnett writing that I'm worried it's going to ruin the book for me.
DC seems to be doing a number of things where what had gone before just suddenly doesn't matter. They've retooled Teen Titans, Titans, Nightwing, Superman, although I'm more or less enjoying it. But they've done so much retooling of Superman over the last few years that it's kind of I'm tired of it. Just stabilize it and go somewhere with it. And then, like, here at the end with this Green Lantern stuff, not only did they retool it a bit, but when we get this coming soon two-page spread or whatever with just a couple of cryptic images, I'm like, okay, I guess we're getting Dark Stars. One of them looks like maybe a Durlin or something. Oh, wow, it's Green Lantern, Green Arrow again. The main power battery breaking again. And it looks like I'm going to go with maybe the Green Lanterns of the various multi-universe. Maybe, don't know.
Yeah.
Frankly,
and I was trying.
Don't care.
I was trying to figure out why that Dark Star lady is so heavily roided up, like on steroids. It's like, what the heck is going on there?
Yeah.
I hope she's not a human.
No, they're all aliens, I think. But
oh, okay, good.
None of it really excited me. And
no, it didn't with me either. It kind of fell flat.
Yeah, I think there are going to be people who love it. But I think Grant Morrison's one of those writers that either, you know, what he's writing works for you or he doesn't. And it changes from title to title and time to time. He's done some brilliant stuff. I think he's a very talented writer. But what you refer to as making us work for it and stuff, I refer to as not telling the story.
Yes, that is very true. Like, for me, the best part of the comic was, one, the art. The artist, even though it's busy, Liam Sharp, he does an amazing job. He's a very talented artist. The detail and work that he does is very good. And the part that I liked was the most boring part, where they're talking and you know, basically building the world. There's like those four pages where he's talking to one of the
Guardians.
The Guardians, yeah. I always forget their names.
Who suddenly all gone bald and ditched the red robes.
Exactly. I'm like, where did the hair go? But it was so weird because that was my favorite part, because you see they're building up a police procedural type thing about this thing that may be going on. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. That's what I was referring to, is this is the cool part. And then they flipped to that last page. I was like, I don't know what's going on here. Maybe that ties into what they're talking about. I don't know.
I took that not as the cool part, but as the exposition.
Yeah, so I liked four pages out of it very well.
For me, it fell flat. I didn't think it was horrible, but I certainly wasn't in love with it. It was frustrating, given that I was enjoying what they'd been doing with the franchise. Not loving. I think it's had better runs, but it was good. I certainly don't think it was broken. And it comes down to, I think it, the story could have been told much clearer and been more accessible both for new and old readers. And I basically, while I think they did a competent job telling the story, the art didn't really, you know, click with me as much as I would like. The story certainly didn't. It felt off-putting, and I just didn't care for what they did.
So overall, you were not a happy camper with this book.
It's one that if I were to make every title re-earn its place on my list...
This would not make the cut.
No, it wouldn't. It would not be one where it's like, well, you know, I'll skip it forever either. I mean, it fell flat.
Yeah, and what was weird for me is, like, having never read Green Lantern at all, I went into one that was so continuity heavy with Venditti and loved it. And then I went into one that was, like, new reader friendly and loved it from the beginning. And then it seemed like this is really a mess. It did disappoint me. I did like those four pages because I could see some stories he's building, but if it's more of that nonsense that was earlier on in the book, which just seemed like, you know, here's some bombastic stuff that happens and not really explaining things or making a coherent story, it could be very, very frustrating.
I guess those four pages felt more like the pitch than the story.
Yeah, it did. I was like, oh, so this is what we're going to be reading about. And the rest of it, I just kind of tuned out, which was weird. And it's
which
oversized
is
issue.
When he should have actually been doing what he was saying he was going to do.
Wouldn't that have been a good story if they would have actually touched on those four pages?
Might have been.
Yeah, we'll never know.
That's sad right there.
Yeah.
Not even a tune in next issue to find out kind of thing, you know?
That's true. So if you like four pages for $4.99.
It's such a deal they have for you.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a C on this. Like I said, it fell flat. I wasn't repulsed by it or anything. Well, a few parts. I think it was, again, it's going to find an audience. I'm just increasingly wondering if I am part of the audience that DC wants.
Interesting. And you are a DC guy, so that's a big statement.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Because that kind of really surprises me, and I'm curious to see how this plays out. But with me... I was leaning towards a C- with this because the story was just not very, you know, enticing. It didn't really want, you know, make me want to read more of this story. Those four pages gave me some hope for the future, but I actually went with a C+ because I enjoyed the art. I really like Liam Sharp, and I thought he did a great job.
I can see that. He's certainly a talented artist. I just found his work a little too busy for me.
Yeah, he put a lot on the page. There's a lot of stuff going on.
And I don't know, there was something about it that it was a different art style in kind of tone. It's not radically different than the previous art either. But
I can just see the work the guy put in with all that detailed work, all the stuff that's going on the page versus like the next book. It's not as busy.
I would agree with that. Certainly Liam Sharp put in the work. There's no question about it. And again, very talented. So
yeah,
his work didn't work for me, but that's no knock on the artist.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to our Marvel book?
Yes, we shall.
This is Marvel Knights 20th. At least I believe that's the official title.
I think so.
This is one where they put that at the end, don't they?
Yeah.
I hate it when they kind of make you search for that. Actually, I don't even know where it is. I'm not going to bother looking. Anyways, hang on. There
something like that.
There's a title page buried back in there, and it just has the logo for that. So, who knows? This was one of those where it would have been nice if they'd kind of set stuff up a little bit better at the beginning. Is this part of the mainstream Marvel universe? Is it a parallel world? What the hell's going on?
That's exactly what I thought.
I don't know. I'll admit it was interesting and I was liking it, but I'm not entirely sure what's going on. And frankly, if it is even going to matter in the grand scheme of things. And I'm going to say it won't.
Yeah, like it seems almost like a large grand what if is going on here, or
yeah.
An alternate pocket universe of story, you know, hey, Donny Cates, you want to work with these characters? Here you go, do this thing. And it's not in main continuity. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, the art was good. I'm not going to say it was brilliant, but it was good. And the story was kind of that roller coaster ride. It was good in the moment.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I would. Because I was going into it and I was like, you know, after last week's Nightwing review.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go into another mind wipe type thing. But actually, this kind of was like really cool because it's completely different than the Nightwing thing. It's everyone's been mind wiped.
If you were to take away what I'm going to refer to as the Marvel Easter eggs, in other words, if this was not Daredevil, if that was not Frank Castle, if you didn't know who they really were, would this story have worked for you?
It actually could have, as long as they do some character building in here, characterization and telling you who these people were and why. But I think that would take a lot more pages than this.
That's fair. Okay.
Because it could be a plot or a script for a TV series, depending on how this plays out. You know, imagine you wake up tomorrow and nobody knows who they are. You know, we have no clue, except for a few people who almost are trying to wake you out of your delusion. I can see that. It almost goes back to that, what was that thing called that Marvel did, that hill? I can't remember. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It was about a beginning of, not this year, but last year or whatever?
Yeah, where everyone kind of had their minds wiped in there in this perfect little community. All the villains were there.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was. But that's kind of like this, but in the broader universe. It's not just these criminals who've been arrested. This is the entire DC Universe, or at least New York for what we know.
There was a show, I think it was out of New Zealand, called This Is Not My Life.
Oh, okay. Where, and it was similar to this?
Yeah. There's a small village, and this guy wakes up one morning and realizes this is not his life.
Yeah.
And it was actually really good.
Yeah. So I could see this working, but you would have to have so much. You'd have to narrow it down to, like, one character, like in Daredevil, let's say. And do some background on them. So you'd have to have foreshadowing back, you know, what happened in the past, what's going on now, and you'd have to jump back and forth. And I could see that either as a TV series or like a independent comic series. But with us having the knowledge of who these characters are, it works well for us because we don't have to guess who they are. We just know by the name. Frank Castle is this guy.
Yeah. I think that was one of the things that benefited this, is we knew what the characters didn't.
Yes.
And I'm not going to say this is deep on story. It was, again, it was well told and I was entertained by it. But there was also an aspect of it of, okay, where are you going with this?
Yeah, that's where I'm intrigued and I want to know what's going to happen. And it was so weird how it went to that one page where we have the reveal from the tombstone at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it flashes, and that's where the title page is, Marvel Knights. And you think that's the end of the story, but no, you must flip. And then you get, like, the secondary story where you think it's going one way, it zigs, and then it zags. And you're like, what the heck? So that was kind of cool. He gave us a lot to think about, and I guess that's the main thing going on at the very, very end. I'm interested to see how it plays out, because it could be a train wreck, but I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I was entertained by it. Which, you know, if I were to dissect the story or whatever, I'd be like, why am I entertained by this? This is one where the concept is good, but the execution is what made this work.
Yeah.
But I'm also thinking the next issue is by a different creative team.
Oh, is it?
Rosenberg and Henrichsen.
Oh, crap. Oh, I was liking Donny Cates. So I
don't know.
Ah, so is this kind of like what DC did with that Commandy challenge, where a new writing and drawing team picks up every week and has to take off with it?
They may have a different creative team every issue. I'm not sure, but I don't think it's like the Commandy challenge where it was write somebody into a corner and they've got to get out.
Yeah, so I'm like, who knows? I was like, maybe this is their idea of a Commandy challenge. But I was enjoying this so much that I'm worried. I hope it doesn't. Maybe they'll skip months, and maybe the other writer, Rosenberg, will go with another story, and then they'll come back to this. I don't know, but if they're going to just trade off every other issue, or that could be weird.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the game plan is here.
Well, once again, I just ordered the bundle, and I don't read the solicitations that much. I'm trying not to get spoiled.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing too, and I'm wondering if that's the route I should keep going with.
Yeah, so that you get surprised. Like, I didn't even know the Nightwing comic that we reviewed last week, it was supposed to be a different writer. I was like, why did it change?
Yeah, there's aspects where I wish they would write the solicit so they didn't spoil, but there's also aspects where I'm questioning a lot of what I'm reading right now.
Nah, it's true. Yeah, I understand exactly what you mean. I'm getting to the same phase as you where I'm like, I got to cut some of the fat.
Well, and the thing is, if I were in that mode when I had ordered this, I probably would not have ordered this. And I did enjoy it.
Yeah, what's weird is you wouldn't have ordered this. You would have ordered a Green Lantern. And I say this is a better read than Green Lantern by far.
I would agree with that. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, so a much better book, whether it's the writer. I think Donnie Cates is a much easier person to read. He's much more entertaining, whereas Grant Morrison's more, I don't know. He likes to write like he's more intelligent than you, and he wants to make you work for the story. And I don't necessarily like that.
If it's work because there's additional layers and more stuff you can get out of it, that's great. But if it's work because the surface layer just isn't there and you've got to dig for it, that I don't like. Yeah.
Yeah, that just breeds frustration and you're not happy.
For this, I'm going to go with a B minus. I question if a year from now any of us are even going to remember this story.
Yeah, I could see that. That makes sense. I mean, it's true. We don't know if this is going to be impactful, if it takes place in the universe, or if this is just some, like I said, cool pocket universe where something's going to happen. A what if?
Yeah.
Yeah. With me, I thought the concept was very cool, very engaging. It draws you into the story. The art was clean. I liked it. It wasn't overly cluttered like the previous artist. Still good artist. And I went with a solid B on it. I thought it was above average.
I can see that. And certainly the Marvel Knights has a good history and has done some good stuff. And I'm curious where this goes. I was hoping to get a better sense of direction out of the first issue than we did. But, you know, hey, that happens.
Yeah, now I'm really curious to read the second issue and see what in the heck happens. If this is going to be just left like that or if the other guy's picking up with it, I don't know.
It's in 2 weeks, so you're not going to have to wait long.
All right, we shall see.
With that, shall we move on to our other book?
Sounds good.
This is Battlestar Galactica number one. I think technically it's Battlestar Galactica Classic number one.
Yes.
So you know which Battlestar Galactica it is, because we've got plenty to choose from, at least two.
Yeah.
This is written by John Jackson Miller. I have read some of his stuff. He did some of the Star Wars stuff over at Dark Horse. He's written, I think, a few Star Wars novels, a few Star Trek novels. And yeah, I know the guy. He's a good guy. He also does some of the number crunching and stuff. Did it for Comic Buyer's Guide and stuff.
Okay.
So fan of his work. Fan of Battlestar Galactica. I was wondering how kind of the two would kind of mix and stuff. And Miller does a pretty good job with all the different franchises he works with of understanding the franchise, getting the tone, the style, the dialogue and stuff, the feel of it down.
Yeah. I've read probably four or five of the Battlestar Galactica series from Dynamite, and by and large, most of them I was like bored to tears, or the art was horrible, the story just flat out stunk. This one I was enjoying. It seems like he took the classic story, yet he's expanded on it, because I don't remember back, you know, 40 years ago when this was on TV, or 35 years ago. I mean, I watched it, but I don't remember the details. But it seems like there was new aliens that were brought into the series that I don't remember from the TV series.
No, the alien, the other fleet they meet are new, as are the enemies of them.
Exactly. So he's expanding the universe, which was kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, and what was cool about this other fleet that the Colonial Fleet meets is they're in a very similar situation. But they're not really so much warriors and stuff. They're more kind of engineers and merchants and stuff. So they've got ships that are kind of factories and stuff like that that the Galactica fleet misses and doesn't have. Yet the Galactica fleet has Vipers, they have fighter pilots, they have warriors that this other fleet doesn't have. So it's kind of a flip sides of the same coin almost that would make for a very interesting unified fleet if they go that route.
Exactly, because you have the one fleet that can repair the engines, get you going faster, that can build a new ship, can repair things quickly, and you have the people who are going to defend you, so you don't just have to run and say, we're going to lose 5% of our fleet, you know, so let's rebuild. So those two things together, it's like yin and yang, they complete each other, their weaknesses.
Exactly, and it was a nice way to stay with the classic kind of Galactica kind of concept. And just here's another way it could have gone. Let's see, again, how it mixes.
Yeah, so this felt what was weird, and he did a good job of. It felt new, yet nostalgic at the same time.
Yeah.
which is weird. It's hard to do.
Well, again, it's expanding that franchise and doing it in a way that, that honors it and doesn't violate it, which is a tough order.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, you start reading, you know, the main Battlestar Galactica, which I'm sure you're a fan of from way back in the day, and I'm a fan of it. I mean, it's cool, but, you know, that story, you know, them being chased by the Cylons, we all know it. So finally, we get something different to maybe give us a different twist. So I don't know how much leeway they have to, you know, expand this, but I really love this. And so far, like I said, this is probably my favorite Battlestar Galactica series that Dynamite's printed.
Yeah, I think it did some good stuff. Did you read the Zero issue?
I did. I forgot about it. I was trying to remember. Well, it came out in the Zero issue, but then when I started reading this, I was like, oh yeah, now I remember.
Well, it tells the story that's kind of recapped on the first page of there was this empire they had to cross, and the empire said, no, don't. And Adama took them across anyways, because it was a short thing, and they didn't have the fuel to go around.
Oh yeah.
And here he is kind of agonizing, oh, we've led them to ruin, we've done this. You know, it's very much what would have happened in the show.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, there's high stakes, how it plays out. You know, you see the leader fraught with his decisions, how things come back and bite him. You know, how the weight of the world and the universe and the peoples weigh down a leader. And so it's kind of cool. High stakes, new characters. I think this is going to be a really cool series. And it's going to be something where you can turn into where they could actually fight the Cylons. But I think the Cylons may come out a little bit stronger, too.
I think so, too. I'm curious where it goes, and I liked how there was a good, you know, the characters felt like the characters from the show.
Yeah, they did. So, I mean, and like I said, I haven't really rewatched the stuff. I watched the, I can't remember what TV series had it on, or was it on Netflix or something, but there was a remake of the Battlestar Galactica. That was cool. But other than that, newer series that came out, I think it was in the 2000s, and the original stuff, that's pretty much all I know of Battlestar Galactica, yet it feels very nostalgic and brought me right back home.
At one point, I rewatched, I think, most of the original run, which is really only like a season and a half. Well, season plus a half season follow-on of Galactica 1980, which was hokey, but fun in its own way. So I think this again, did well by it. Again, I like John Jackson Miller's writing. He's not trying to reinvent things or put his thumbprint over an existing property. He's just telling good stories with it.
Yeah, he did a really good job. And like I said, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would going into it, because the BSG versus BSG was okay for me. But the one before that, I was just like, I never want to read Battlestar Galactica again. It was that bad.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's
I can't remember what it was called, but the art was horrible. The story was bad. I was just like, oh my gosh. And after like four or five issues, it was done.
Yeah, this one, again, I enjoyed. I thought it was really good. And I think one of the stronger things they've done with the franchise, comics-wise, in quite some time. I'd be hard-pressed to name one that was better.
Yeah.
But I haven't read them all either.
Yeah, me neither. Like I said, I've probably read four or five, and out of the four or five, two of them I've enjoyed, and this is the most enjoyable of all. So if you're a Battlestar Galactica fan, this one's for you.
Yeah. I'm going to go with an A- on this. I thought it was really good stuff.
Cool. We're very close. I went with a B+. I thought it was really good, and the next issue could be an A, depending on how they play. You know, this all plays out. I really like it.
Yeah, I'm curious where it goes from here, and how the rest of the miniseries kind of plays out.
Yeah, and I'm hoping Dynamite gives it the legs, you know, at least 12 issues, come on, to get this story out there, because it's a good enough story where I don't want it to end in four or five issues like the other Battlestar series did.
Yeah, I'm curious. I was kind of expecting just a default of 6 issues, but I really hadn't given it any thought.
Yeah, wouldn't you like to read more of it, though? Like, have it like a bigger story, more almost like Star Wars or something?
Yeah, I mean, if it goes well, there's no reason they couldn't just do another arc of another story or whatever, because this is probably going to play out as if it were an episode or 2-episode arc on the show. If it's good and it's successful, let John Jackson Miller do another story.
Oh, yeah. And actually, you know, they could do take this and almost do like a reimagining of the universe again. You know, not to get too much into hyperbole, but this is something I could see them doing, a new Netflix series, a relaunch, and tying in new stuff to expand the universe. So it's not just the same story over and over and over.
Yeah. And that's the thing. When you've got something of the basic premise is we've got an enemy and we're running from them and they're chasing us.
You can only do that for so long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where you're like, okay, we ran again. Yeah, so this actually made it, like I said, a little bit of a reboot and a little bit refreshing and a little bit of a new take on it. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, when I first read that Green Lantern thing, I was so depressed when I was reading it because I had so enjoyed the other two series from Rebirth. And I thought maybe it was just me. I'm like, man, maybe I don't know enough about Green Lantern. So I'm happy to hear it wasn't just me. I just gotten done reading Warning Label by Tom Zoller. I was like, maybe this good writing just made this look so bad. I don't know what's going on.
Going from Tom Zoller, who I would say is one of the most accessible and easy to read comic writers out there. I mean, the guy is just terrific. To Grant Morrison, who at times can be one of the most obtuse, hard to follow story writers.
Yes.
That's rough.
Oh, it was really rough. And I read it again. I gave it a day because I was like, maybe it's just because I read Tom Zoller before that I'm just hating this book. What's going on? But no, the second time I didn't hate it, but it was just like I found some things I like, but I was just like, not really the best Green Lantern stuff I've read.
Again, for me, I didn't hate it. I liked what they were doing better before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So did you – I know you did the Kickstarter order and we got them mailed out by Eric for the Warning Label by Tom Zoller. Did you get a chance to read it?
I have not gotten a chance to read it. I have gotten a chance to read some other stuff since we last talked.
Ah, what did you get to reading?
I have read about 140 comics.
Holy mackerel.
Now, part of that is we recorded a little late this week. We're on a Thursday versus Tuesday. It gave me an extra evening. I had a day off from work, bank holiday, so that gave me it's actually when I got over half of that read.
Wow.
So I've been catching up on the X books, on some of the New Age of Heroes stuff, a couple other things here and there, and a lot of it really just came down to I figured out one of the secrets to reading a lot. When you finish one, immediately start the next comic.
Oh yeah, right away.
Don't stop for anything. If it's, oh, let's see if I get an email, next thing I know it's a half hour later, you know, kind of thing. Anyways, there's a fair number of these that were utterly forgettable and could have been skipped.
Yeah. It's very true. Like, when you read a lot of comics, you realize how much mediocrity is out there.
Well, and even if it's not mediocre, and a fair amount of it is, some of it's just playing for time.
Yeah, it's almost just like they're filling the, let's fill in two or three issues with just some stuff here until we get to the next story, which we actually really want to write, or, oh, it's going this way, so now we have to write this way. But they just, yeah, it's like filler. Just filler.
It's not bad. It's indulgent at times.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. So now, you remember the titles I was telling you about, the X-Men Black, this and that and the other?
Yeah.
Did you read those?
Yes.
See, I don't think you had to read them to get ready for Uncanny X-Men.
I think you are completely correct.
I was reading them. I'm like, yeah, you could skip those. And you're like, nah, I feel like I need to know. I'm like, I don't think it applies to anything.
I got them, so I was going to read them at some point. I may as well read it before we do Uncanny, just so I'm current, just like I had caught up a week or so back on the Green Lantern stuff before reading the Green Lantern. And that doesn't always make the new stuff shine.
Yeah, but when I read that, I was like, okay, this is something that's happening, this X-Men Black, to get us ready for the relaunch of Uncanny. And then I realized it's just filling time. It's just filling space, or maybe numbers that they're trying to hit, because it was just little stories that didn't really do anything. I was just like, oh, why am I even reading this?
Well, and that's one of the big takeaways I had from all of this reading, is there's a lot of stuff where it's clear they've just got another slot to fill in their output, and I don't know that I need to be getting all of these to be filling even more comic boxes with.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Because it takes a lot of space and takes a lot of time, and that's the kind of stuff where, like, I was going through my previews, I was doing my order, and I was emailing Eric on some stuff. Hey, what do you think of this? But, like, you know, I get to things like Mysteries of Love and Space from DC. I'm like, do I really need a love anthology? I'm like, that doesn't sound like something I really want to read.
I've been going through the current order form and debating, do I just whittle a few things off? Do I wait for the end of a story arc? And then as I was driving home from work tonight, I was thinking, you know, maybe I'm going about this backwards. Maybe I should kind of not do what I'm doing, which is hear the titles I'm getting, just kind of default them in and go from there. Maybe I should make everything kind of re-earn its place.
that's a cool way to do it. And then you'd be reading the best of the best.
Well, yes and no, because there's some titles that I'd been catching up on that I really enjoyed that I don't know that I would have necessarily been getting if I'd gone that route.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So you're kind of like in a weird spot. I feel like that too sometimes. Like I told you with my Suicide Squad, which is ending, I bought it from issue one because when I first got into the Rebirth thing, I'd watched the Suicide Squad movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I'm going to start reading this. And to this day, I haven't liked one issue of it, but I keep buying it. I'm like, why am I buying it? So finally, you know, DC did the kind thing and put it to rest, you know, put a bullet and took it out the pasture.
Well, they also replaced it with a miniseries of Suicide Squad, The Black Files or something.
Yeah, so that probably won't be any better, but we'll see.
I mean, if I wanted to really cut back on my comics, I would just stop getting first issues and new titles. Within 3 years, I'd be done.
Oh, yeah, you'd have no comics to read. Other than maybe like Spawn and Walking Dead. And
I don't get Spawn.
Oh, maybe Action Comics if you're still reading that, and maybe they don't relaunch it.
But, I mean, part of it is DC's, frankly, cheesing me off a little bit with some of what they're doing, because we talked about Nightwing and the travesty there. Here they're doing a major tonal shift on Green Lantern that isn't quite working for me. Over the last couple of years, as I mentioned earlier, they've done so much back and forth with Superman as to which Superman is it, how does he relate to Batman and Wonder Woman and whatnot. And, oh, don't worry about that. It's now this. It's this almost, I don't want to say desperation, but this isn't working. Let's try something else.
And do you think that's, and this is me guessing, I assume that's probably because it's so competitive and they want to have that number one spot versus, you know, Marvel, you know, right? Currently they're number one for the overall number of titles or dollars or whatever it is.
I hope that's not it.
I don't know. Like, maybe they hired Bendis and he brought over the worst qualities from Marvel.
I don't blame Bendis.
Yeah, it wasn't him. But it's weird that you see him doing this weird stuff. Like, Marvel, I think I've grown numb to the relaunches, but I'm starting to see the same stuff that we all saw from Marvel, the relaunches and the number ones. It's starting to play out a little bit here with DC, except it's weird. I'm not a seasoned DC reader, but I'm not liking the changes they're making.
One of the other titles I caught up on was Heroes in Crisis, and that did not work for me well. And that's one of the things that has me thinking, well, if they're going in this sort of direction, where it's the, you know, oh, it's an event, we got to kill some people off. I'm like, really?
Again?
And some of the particular characters they chose, I saw a definite theme with. Not all of them, but just about all of them. And I'm like, really? That's a little off-putting. And some of it is you're taking characters that you've just, over the last couple of years, invested kind of heavily in, and just saying, oh, we're done with them. Get rid of them.
Yeah.
So if the writers and the creators and the powers that be at DC don't care about these characters, why should I? And then
True.
At Marvel, as you say, with the constant relaunches, retooling, and redirections and stuff, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I'm almost seeing it's like they look at the major brands. Like, you could take Fantastic Four, you can take Wolverine, or whoever else has been killed. And now at DC, you're starting to see this stuff. And I think they're seeing, okay, stagnant sales, relaunches. We can take a character off the board. Technically, they took Wolverine off the board. I mean, Old Man Logan, not the same, but he is the same, was there. And it creates all this excitement for when he comes back and maybe re-energizes, reinvigorates the property. Same thing with Fantastic Four. But I think they're scrambling, doing whatever they can, trying to keep the numbers high. And really, at the end of the day, I'm like, you guys are mega corporations. I know keeping the numbers high is really important. I know making money, being profitable is important. But really, just use this as a think tank. Just like all these small print, you know, small press companies, they're popping up every day in the comics and medium. And they're creating, you know, IP for Netflix, IP for movies, for TV series. It's the cheapest way you can create IP. Don't look at it as a money-making proposition. Make it as a, you know, make it a good idea incubator. That's what they need to do.
Yeah, but I think that's also part of what's killing comics.
You think so?
You don't need to read the comics. You can watch the movies or the TV shows.
Very true. Yeah, very true. You've said it before. I meet countless people who are Marvel and DC fans and scoff at the thought of reading a comic.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, you're a big Marvel fan. I'm like, oh, I'm reading this. And they're like, what? I watched the movies. I'm like, that's it. I'm like, okay, well, you're not a Marvel fan. Whatever.
Well, and I look at, because not only have I been tracking what I'm rating every comic I read as, I'm tracking when I read it this year. And it's been since, I'm going to say, January that I've been current.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, no, I mean, I have not been current since January. That's not cool.
Oh, yeah. not current.
Not current. Sorry, that's your name. And I look at the number of comics I'm reading on average per day. And I don't read every day. I don't have time every day. And it's between 4 and 5.
Okay.
So that's about half what I'm getting. I think if I'd been doing like 7 a day or whatever, I'd probably have been staying current, but just doesn't happen.
That's a lot to read, 7 a day. And I'm kind of in that same boat. I have to read about 7 a day or I get behind.
So it comes down to, you know, I need to rethink, because I don't think, you know, come 2019 that I'm suddenly going to have oodles more time. That just didn't in the cards.
Yeah. I don't want my wife to listen to this podcast because she'll hold me to it. But what I was going to say is I told you I feel stressed when I get too much and I get behind. I have to get current. I read. And I don't really absorb it. I just muscle through it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I read less, when I'm done with that stack and I move on to just a trade like a Warning Label, you know, by Tom Zoller or this trade or that trade, and I slow down and I take a couple days just to read a trade, I think I enjoy it more. Or I just read like a couple comics one day. I absorb it way more. I get more out of it. I put more time into it. So more doesn't always make it better. It sometimes makes the stories worse.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you've got a sense of the average quality out there, too.
Yeah. So it's very weird because I love the medium. I support it. And I want to know everything going on. But I've gotten to the point where I've started enjoying more of the weird and obscure. And when I say weird and obscure, you know, like Tom Zoller again, that's not weird, but obscure writers than the DC and Marvel, you know, universe. Here it is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it, particularly with the way they keep retooling the DC and Marvel Universe. It's not what it was just last year or the year before sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, now there are some gems out there. I mean, there's some things that you've read and I've read that I really think it's good. So it's weird. You almost have to plug along and buy a lot of it just to find the gem in the rough. diamond in the rough.
I almost wish there was a future me that could be reading all the stuff and telling me what not to have read. So yeah. I could have judged and picked what I would have liked the most.
Oh, yeah. That would have been super cool. Like, it would have told me, don't read any of those Inhuman books. By the way, read Death of Inhumans. That's the book. That's a good one. The rest of it's all garbage.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much out there. I mean, there's quite a bit I could cut back. And the question is, do I start cutting back or do I kind of go more draconian and build back up? Either way, if I go down either route, that may seriously impact what's available for us to review on a weekly basis.
Okay, well, you have to give me a list of the titles if you do make the call.
Yeah, I just gotta figure out what I'm thinking, what I want to do on this, because I mean, there's plenty of other things I'd like to be doing with some of my time too. And you know, literally, I spent all of Monday reading. I got through like 80 comics that day.
And that can be stressful. Did you feel stressed after that, or just fatigued?
A little tired. It's kind of relaxing. It's not a bad way to spend a day. But when I realized that I need to do that another, like, 8 times to get current with what I have now.
You're like, oh, God.
it's just not working.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. Because, I keep buying, but I have those same inclinations sometimes, or the same thoughts sometimes. I'm like, man, I get a lot of stuff. So, I mean, I like good stories. I like comics, and I don't ever want to be out of comics again, because I've been out for large periods of my life. But at the same time, I don't want to have to not play Red Dead Redemption, or I don't want to have to not watch this really cool Netflix series because I don't have time.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same thing you're struggling with, because there's so many cool things out there, and we can't have something that takes 90% of our time and we get 10% for these other things, which may be very enjoyable.
Exactly. I mean, I have not started any of the DC shows this season yet.
Oh, wow.
I just haven't had time.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, my wife, her favorite one is Legends of Tomorrow. That's my least favorite, by the way.
It's on the list. I'll get to it. But I just need to take a look at where I'm allocating my time and pick and choose a little more wisely. And if I do successfully kind of cut back and stuff, that may free up time for some back issue spotlights that have been in the planning stage for, oh, at least a year now in some cases, probably longer in many others. But it's just hard to find the time to go read the back issues when I'm not current on the current stuff.
You want to know what? I would love to see people on the Slack channel or the forums tell us, you know, like their thoughts on this type of stuff. Because I would really love to see their feedback, because I know a lot of the people who listen, some of them buy a lot of stuff. Some of them buy smaller amounts, but they just read back issues.
Mm-hmm.
Would they like to see like more on the back issue stuff and maybe like focus more on like maybe some really good books, some core titles, you know, versus, you know, kind of us buying the entire previews catalog and, you know, trying to read it all.
Absolutely. I'd love feedback on that because, I mean, there's a lot of other things, you know, types of episodes and stuff like that I'd like to do, but just don't always have the time for. But, I mean, the Weekly Comic Spotlight historically has been kind of the anchor of the Comic Page podcast. I'm just questioning if it will continue to be that way or not, and I really don't know.
Wow. Wow, this is like some big thoughts of John Mayo. You've had an epiphany, I feel.
Well, I have, because I'm looking at so much, particularly of what both Marvel and DC are doing, where, you know, you look at the way they've assembled the Walmart giants and stuff at DC.
Yeah.
And they're picking from stuff in multiple different continuities. As
wow.
If it's interchangeable. And the message
really,
that sends is it doesn't matter.
I think that's what they're ultimately getting at. It doesn't matter, and here's some stories. Writers are kind of like hired guns right now. You know, they go in it and they try to make a name and then they do their own thing. None of them are really career writers anymore at the big two. I mean, you have a few, but not very many. So if you have a Donnie Cates who comes in and he wants to write a weird story about Thanos as a baby and Cosmic Ghost Rider, okay, here you go. And we'll let the next crazy guy pick it up and run with it, do something else, or we'll just forget about it.
That's the part that's not working for me anymore.
Yeah, because the continuity's kind of gone. It's going away, I feel.
Well, I don't need to read stories to pass the time. I've got other ways to pass the time.
Yeah. Well, I am so kind of excited, well, I know this sounds weird, to see where you go with this, because I feel like you're coming out to us and telling us how you feel, which is really cool, and I have those thoughts sometimes, and I want to see what you choose to do. Like I said, I'm here for you.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate the support
you
on this.
We should talk about this more in future episodes, you know, your thought process going forward. But I want to hear on the forums too, on the Slack, what people think about this stuff. But I'm kind of the same way, and, you know, continuity. Do we read the big two? Do we trim down? Do we learn to enjoy life more and, you know, do more travel versus, you know, just slogging away at our comics trying to get through 500 single issues? Just funny stuff.
Yeah, well, I'd rather almost reread some time-tested material versus take a chance on, frankly, some overpriced new stuff that, you know, the next writer is not going to have even bothered to have read.
Oh, yeah. And I want to read some of my big omnibuy that I've purchased that I don't ever have time to read.
Yeah.
I want to read that cool, like, there was something really cool that came out. In this latest previews, there's the 10th anniversary, Darkest Nights, is that what it is? Or Brightest?
Blackest Nights.
Blackest Nights, okay, yeah.
Blackest Night.
Blackest Night, okay. I bought the Geoff Johns Omnibus 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. And then number 2, they have the main Blackest Night story. So I'm like, hey, should I pick up this other one? It has way more stuff, all these other books. And Eric's like, well, do you like the story? I'm like, I have no clue. I haven't read it. I don't have time. He's like, well, you're not going to know if you like it unless you read that story. He's like, that's my best advice. I was like,
yeah.
I'm like, I know it's great, but I can't find time to read it.
Well, and that's the thing is nobody else can tell you what you're going to like and stuff. They can give suggestions.
Yeah.
But until you've really read it and stuff, I mean, there's no way to know. And, you know, there's a lot of what I'm reading. It's like, you know what? I'm willing to invest the time if I felt it was going to matter to the ongoing story of the Marvel or DC universe or whatever, or was going to have some payoff down the line in terms of a bigger picture or something. But when it's so clear, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. So we may be moving to the weekly trade that we're going to be reading together and reviewing.
Or something. I don't know.
Hey, and I'm down.
It may be that we keep the Weekly Comic Spotlight going. It's just there's going to be a handful of titles we rotate through or whatever for Marvel and DC and the other stuff. I just don't know.
Yeah, it may be like more like Avengers, Superman, Batman, big names, stuff that everybody's reading, you know?
Yeah, certainly.
Which,
though,
I'm cool with that.
I'd love to get listener feedback on all of this.
Please, please.
Because if I wasn't as far behind on my reading, I probably would have started the WB DC shows, probably would have continued on another series of podcast episodes I've been stockpiling. I've already got a handful done. It's looking to be maybe an 18 or 19 episode kind of thing that I'll dole out over, you know, one a month or whatever. But that's kind of stalling out a little just because, again, time.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, hey, I'm excited. I'm always open to change. So I'm so interested to see people. I'm so excited. I'm going to write about it on the Slack channel. If not tonight, tomorrow. I'll be like, you got to listen to the next episode. Best one ever.
Well, again, I've had times where I've needed to cut back before. Other times it's been easy and stuff. And at this point, it's just, do I look for a clean cutoff point on some titles or do I just reassess my entire list from scratch? And either way, where do I find the time to do that?
Yeah. Well, I'm you have me intrigued and you have my interest piqued and I'm excited going forward. I will say that.
Well, and this may be a subject of conversation on the previews, or not the previews, but the what used to be the previews teleconference, but is now just the Comic Book Page teleconference that we're doing in a couple of nights from now as we record this and did a couple of nights ago as people listen to this.
Cool. Oh, yeah, that's on the 17th. Yeah, so
yeah.
Cool.
So the next preview spotlight deadline is going to be Saturday, December 8th, the morning thereof. Please send in picks. Picks may influence what I keep or don't keep on my pull list. And then the following Comic Book Page teleconference will be on December 15th at 7 p.m. Central Time. And who knows what we'll talk about at that point.
Cool.
So anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
That pretty much does it for me.
Cool. Join us next time as we discuss Electric Warriors number 1 from DC, Uncanny X-Men number 1 from Marvel, and Firefly number 1 from Boom Studios. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.